Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Let's look to the Lord before we look to His Word. Father, we thank You for giving us Your Word, Your truth that we so desperately need for life and godliness. We would not know life except for You telling us the good news about Your Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage today, we would understand the importance of speaking truth, but doing it in a loving way. That we would seek to be like Christ, use our words, control our tongues, which are so unruly. May we use them for good and not evil, to build up, not tear down. I'm going to clearly explain this passage here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Watch Your Tongue, Watch Your Tongue. You know, little things can get you in trouble, like wrong words. I remember one time as a kid, some words got me in trouble. Some bad words that I said to my brothers. I can still to this day remember the smell or the taste of soap in my mouth when my mother washed out my mouth after saying some swear words to my brothers. I learned not to use the wrong words. It left an impression on me. I'm thankful for a mother who intervened at a young age in my life to help me to use my words correctly. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 will help us to intervene in our lives, to help us to know to what the right words are and to use those words to help others, not to hurt them. A week ago, we learned from our study in the previous chapter about good government. And as we understood the principles of good government, that government needs many people. A ruler without any people is nothing. And a good ruler will help his or her people to thrive in every way. Also, good government needs good people. A nation is only as good as the moral character of its people. And sin will bring shame on a nation. Why we need to learn or to grow individually as citizens, growing as we grow and develop good character, it brings up the whole nation as we affect those around us. And then lastly, government needs capable people. They need people who can do the job of ruling well. We need more Josephs. We need more Daniels. We need more Mordecais. And less people like Haman and others who tear down a nation, who are only in it for themselves. And their moral character and their selfishness is bringing the nation down. Now, Solomon starts this chapter with instructions on wise use of the tongue. And from his teachings, I think we can learn how to watch your tongue by heeding the three cautions that he gives us in these first four verses. Now, this chapter, again, is part of the more individual Proverbs sections, seemingly random directives, but I think there's clusters of topics in this chapter. And the first one, I think, has to do with the tongue, so we're going to take the time to look at that. So what's the first caution? First caution is to recognize the tongue's results. Solomon cautions about the tongue. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. So Solomon is cautioning how the tongue's soft answer, it's a gentle or a mild answer. In fact, it is an answer that the virtuous wife knows how to use her tongue, according to Proverbs 31:26, to know when to speak kindly rather than harshly. And the result is that it turns away wrath or rage. Ecclesiastes 10:4 talks about how the wise person knows how to conciliation pacifies great offenses. Even when you are the one at fault, your words can bring the tone down. right? Even when they're upset. Contrast that with a harsh word or a hard or hurtful. There's a little bit of a question on what this word actually is. But either way, it's harsh or hurtful. What does it do? It stirs up anger. Literally, it makes the word there for stirs up, it causes to rise. And the word for anger is the nose. And the long nose, right? Or short, or nose, right? Because nose, when your nose gets hot or gets red because you're angry, so there's the Hebrew idea is that a red nose or a hot nose. So the idea is that you're causing the anger to rise in their nose, right? That's the picture. When you can just see the visible expression. You ever had that where you see someone getting angry right in front of you and their face just starts to get all red and the point when they're really red, their whole nose is red, right? That's when they're good and hot. That's the kind of anger we're talking here. We're not just mild, annoyance, not like, I'm just irritated with you, but like really, really ticked off. That's the idea. And it's our words that can do that. The harsh words, the hurtful words, the hard words that we say to people, that can lead to them getting really, really angry. So don't be like that. So a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Then verse 2 says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. This is kind of almost where you get the definition of wisdom, right? Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. This person doesn't just have knowledge, but they use it, apply it in the right way. That's what wisdom is. Literally, it's the idea of doing good with your knowledge. How do they do that? Well, it's in their actions. Verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Right? This is as we use our words in the correct way, or in a good way, there's good benefit. Verse 7 says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of fools does not do so. Chapter 15, in verse 8, I have a wrong reference there, sorry. The idea is as you learn to use your words correctly, God uses that to bless others. It does good towards others. Chapter 25, verse 11 says, the words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in settings of silver. Right? The quality of your words, they're beautiful as you learn to use them. What a blessing it is when someone speaks to you in a way that just lifts your soul, right? That's how we are to use our words. Rather than tearing others down, there are the harsh words that stir up anger. You see the examples of that in Scripture of those that did that. Even in this chapter in verse 18, it says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, and he who is slow to anger, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. An example in the Old Testament is in 1 Samuel 25 of Nabal and his answer to David's men. And David says, all right, guys, strap on your swords. Let's go wipe them out. Versus when Abigail comes and her words, she brings it down. And he's like, bless you. You kept me from killing people today. Right? And it was the words that made all the difference. The one was a fool. The other one was very wise. We don't name our kids after Nabal. We name our daughters after Abigail, right? A much better person. Or in Judges chapter 8, you see the Ephraimites with Gideon. They come back. Gideon's come back from fighting the Midianites, and Ephraim's like, why didn't you call us? And he's like, you wouldn't have come. And they get all ticked off, and so then it starts a battle. Right? They answered him very harshly or hard. Rehoboam, we kind of talked a little bit about him last week and how he lost his people. Why? Because of his words. He had good advice from the elders that said, if you just listen and you tone things down, you lift the tax burden a little, they'll be with you. But who did he listen to instead? The young men that grew up with him that didn't know better. And they said, no, you need to make your thigh thicker. You know, you need to make the whips hurt more. And so he answers them harshly. And what happens? Most of the nation leaves him. Right? So it was the words made all the difference. How much better if he had taken the time to think through his words and use them appropriately. But he wasn't. He was a fool. It says the mouth of fools, or the stupid people, pours forth foolishness. And this is a principle that throughout the book of Proverbs, like verse 28, says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Right? It just exudes out of them because that's what's inside. Back in chapter 12, verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims righteousness. It just shows what's inside. Or 13:16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but the fool lays open his folly. Right? Again and again. You know, this is why later the counsel is given to he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. That's where the expression comes from, you know, better be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. Right? Because what's inside is going to come out. And Jesus talked about it. What's inside a man will come out of a man. It's not what's outside that corrupts a man. It's what's already in them that shows the heart. And it's just going to come out the mouth then as it expresses itself. So these are the results of the tongue. As they speak, what does it do? It leads to destruction if we're not careful. But if we're careful, we can do good to those around. We can bless with kind words as God wants us to. We need to recognize the results of the tongue. You know, fire is like this. Fire can have good or bad results. I always enjoy burning brush, because you take this huge brush pile and you burn it down and it's all gone. We cleared 17 acres, well, about half of 17 acres in New York, the church owned. We cleared a whole field and built lean-tos and things, and I don't know how many brush fires we had over the years. We had almost 2 acres that we built our house on. We cleared the entire thing of brush and trees, right? And it's all gone. That's a good thing, right? But fire can also be a bad thing. If you remember recently up at camp, this happened. This is, if you don't recognize that, that's the maize that's been there since 2013, a bunch of old potato crates that were donated. And they've gotten really dry, and so we're starting to rot and things, and they were trying to clean out some of the ones inside. They dug a pit and were burning them in one spot. That was out. And then someone going by noticed the flames. Apparently a spark had gotten on while they were burning. It had gotten onto one of the pallets on the side. And the Ventura Fire Department, which Dave Callison is part of, got to come and practice on putting out their fires. And this is the result. About a quarter of the maize burned. Now, actually, it's going to be okay. They have more than enough crates to do what they want to repurpose it for. The sad part is they lost some trees that were just getting going in there. And Abraham and Mai's work that was done on that corner is gone. We built one of the, or helped, or do railings and some of that. So fire can be have good results or bad results. Our tongue can have good results or bad results. Do you recognize the good or bad results of your tongue? Do you realize that you can quickly make a matter worse or better with just a few words? James 1 says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You know, and this is why we should be, as he instructs, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. think about what you're going to say. Because once it's out, you can't take it back. And you can do a lot of harm in a hurry with the words that you say. So think through what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, even the tone is important, and when to say it. Sometimes your spouse needs to hear those words, but probably not right now. Okay? Or your kids need to hear it, but don't heap it on top of all the other things you're dealing with. Maybe it's time to have that conversation with your neighbor, but not, in response to something they did to you or you did to them, and now you bring up the past and make the matter worse. Or maybe that coworker that, you just want to lay it all out for them what they should do so they could do their job perfectly. Maybe this isn't the way to say that or how and when. Think through that. Have you learned how to use knowledge rightly to do good to others? This starts with learning how to share the gospel, right? This is the greatest truth that we should be using to communicate with our tongue. We need to share the gospel with our saved and unsaved friends and family. Then we should encourage and build up other Christians with prayer and biblical counsel and showing interest. One of the verses read in Sunday school today, Ephesians 4:15 and 16, we're to speak the truth in love, to help others to grow to be like Christ. And as every part does its share, it does what? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of self in love. But we need both of those. Speak the truth in love. And we all tend to one or the other. Some of us are pretty blunt. We're truthers. Some of us are lovers, right? And we just want to get along, but sometimes we put up with things we shouldn't. And other people, we cause offense unnecessarily because of how we come across. Take the time to study to how to answer, how to say a word, even if, and especially when it needs to be said. To speak the truth in love to friends. A true friend will speak the truth, but will do it in a loving way. So are we learning how to use knowledge rightly? Or are we continuing to pour out our own foolishness and stupidity? This is when we are being selfish and we don't use the knowledge rightly as we should. This is like when we know the truth about God, but we don't apply it to our situation. This is when you're being stupid, right? It's when I'm being stupid. It's when we're letting, as my pastor friend said recently, we're developing our view of God based on our circumstances, right? It's when we are not remembering the truth and speaking that truth to ourselves, or as I think it was Martin Lloyd-Jones years ago, in essence, he said, stop listening to yourself, start speaking to yourself. Right? We need to stop listening to our thoughts reacting, and instead we need to start speaking the truth that we need to remember. This is reality. This is what God says is true. This is what I need to apply to my situation. Not the other way around. It's like when we forget that our parents, our spouse loves us and we assume the worst about them, not the best. We don't love them in the midst of the situation. Or we think only of our needs and wants instead of others' needs. And how they need Christ and how they need to grow in Him. We're just, how can I get this person to do what I want in my time that I have with them? Rather than thinking, how can I bless them through this conversation? Help them to grow to be like Christ, or help them be drawn to Christ and maybe have an opportunity to share the gospel if they're unsaved. This is what we should be constantly thinking about if we are to be wise in our words, to properly apply the knowledge that we have that people need Christ. Everyone needs Christ. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And even when you're having political conversations, those can be opportunities to speak the truth in love as God wants us to. Do you recognize the tongue's results? Not harsh words, not hard words, but gentle, encouraging words. Caution number two, remember the tongue's restraint. Verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. This is sandwiched in between these verses on words, the tongue. And I think that's intentional because it's, yes, this truth is God's watching all the time, and this should guide and motivate us in all of our behavior, but especially our words. Because what does Scripture say? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, right? Even Christians. Unbelievers are going to stand before the great white throne judgment and receive the things done in the body and be judged according to their deeds. And passage after passage, even the book of end of Ecclesiastes, you know, talks about how God is going to judge. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Right? Hebrews 4, verse 13, talks about, you know, everything is naked and open to the eyes to him who must give account. God sees and knows it all. And this, we should never lose sight of that. And this should especially inform our use of the tongue. Scripture tells us that we will be called to give account of every idle word that we speak. How's that for convicting and challenging? This is a caution that we need. God sees and knows everything, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place. That, you know, he mentioned the 2 Chronicles 16:9, Job talks extensively about it, 31:4, 34, 21 and 22, Zechariah 10 or 4:10, Jeremiah 32:19, and Jeremiah 23:24. I just want to look at the one, Jeremiah 32:19. Jeremiah 32:19 says, "You are great in counsel, mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So as part of Jeremiah's prayer here, and he's praying truth about God, which, by the way, you know, praying Scripture back to God. And as he does, he's saying, this is who you are, and you're going to give everyone according to the way his ways, the fruit of his doings. We get what we deserve in the end. Now, what do we really deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve punishment forever. The wages of sin is death. God in His grace has provided a way of forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that anyone who trusts in Him can have their sins forgiven, not have to face that punishment, not get what we deserve. Instead, we get what we don't deserve, which is God's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Because of God's mercy and His great love, Scripture tells us, He has made a way of forgiveness, and when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He takes away our sin and He gives us His righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. This is the hope that we have. This is getting what we don't deserve. And I'm so thankful that God in His grace has done that, made that possible for us when we trust in Him. Because reality is, we will get what we deserve if there is no other payments. Then we have to pay the price. So this should restrain us as we know that God is watching, keeping a watch on the evil and the good, with the implication that He will judge. He will give us what we deserve. So don't forget the tongue's restrainer. We had goats growing up. My parents still do. They got rid of them for a while after I left for college. And I always remember the goats. We'd go tie them out with a rope or a chain. And often they would, sometimes they'd get spooked. Sometimes they just, you know, being goats, they do silly things, right? And they take off, forgetting that they're tied. And what do you think happens when they hit the end of that chain or rope? Clink, you know, and they're thrown sideways, sometimes right to the ground. And Unfortunately, one time my dad was hanging on to the other end and it kind of messed up his shoulder when he landed on that shoulder, you know. My sister had that happen with her dog and broke her pinky, right? They forget the restraint that they have upon them. And some of them even end up hanging themselves because they forgot that. And they'll get themselves all worked up in that. Do you remember the tongue's restraint that God sees and knows all and will judge one day? Or are you constantly aware of this restraint? And is it keeping you from sinning with your tongue? So I started with James chapter 3. You know, this tongue is a hard thing to control. We've figured out how to control horses and ships. But the tongue, that's a different matter, right? I mean, we've tamed all sorts of wild animals. But the tongue, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. In case you didn't get the point, watch out for your tongue. It will get you in trouble. And he compares it to a spark starting a big forest fire. It only takes, you know, the Chicago fire, just a lantern tipped over, consumes much of the city. This is why, even recently, I saw there was a pumpkin patch that 73 cars were burned. What was it? What did they figure out? Somebody threw out a cigarette. Dry gas. Caught the grass on fire. Caught a car on fire. Then that just domino effect. This is what our tongues can do. They start wars. The words that are said. Beware of what our tongues can do. Remember the restraint. We bless God, but then we turn around and we curse people who have been made in the image of God. This shouldn't be so. If it's in there, it's going to come out. And he talks about the tree, you know, bearing different kinds of fruit. That doesn't work, right? The well, yeah, salt water and fresh coming out of the same thing. It's showing what's in your heart. Are you aware of this restraint? Or are you fighting the restraint in your life and not really realizing that it's for your own good? God telling you don't do this is for your good. Putting restraints on you is actually for your good. The law was given. It's a good thing, as Scripture tells us. Right? 1 Timothy 1. It's given to show you your sin. It's not for as a guide for life. You know, it's not for the Christian. Because if you tried to do that, as Paul in Romans chapter 7 tried, he tried to, you know, I mean, first he heard it was, don't do this, and what did he do? He did it. He wanted to do it, right? The lure of the forbidden. Then he tries to do it in his own strength, and what happens? He can't keep it. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He despairs. Now, there's hope. How can we control the tongue? Through the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. Because you read James, it's like, why do I even try? Right? No one can control the tongue. But it is only through God and His Word and through His Spirit that enables us. Are you reminding yourself not only of the warning, but the reward that restraining your tongue can get you? Right? He promises a reward to those he says we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Right? We'll be rewarded for how we have used. And James chapter 1, you know, the one who has endured temptation will receive the crown of life, which the Lord promises to those who love Him. Because when you say no to sin, you're saying, God, I love You more than my sin. Are you helping others to be aware of judgment to come if they don't restrain their tongue? It is appropriate for us to remind each other, remind and tell the truth, because people don't know that there is appointed unto man once to die and after that the judgment. Right? When people talk to you about death, that's the time to say, you know what? We need to all be ready to die. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to face the judgment that is to come? Do you want me to tell you how you can be ready? God's Word tells us how to be ready. And you can share the truth of God with them. You need to be careful we don't do this so that we look better than them in our self-righteousness, but out of love for them and help them to avoid the judgment that is to become and become like Christ. As we do, we expose sin not to put them down, but so that they turn to Christ and have hope and transformation through the power of the gospel. Do you remember the tongue's restraint? Third caution, realize the tongue's role. In verse 4, a wholesome tongue is like a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Wholesome here means healing or healthy. Chapter 12, verse 18, says this, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health, brings healing. And it compares it to a tree of life. The tree of life, it's a metaphor is used before back in chapter 3, verse 18, and as well as 11:30, which should bring to mind the tree of life from the Garden of Eden, right? That if they were to eat of that, they would live forever. Now, there is a tree of life in eternity. Book of Revelation talks about the tree of life and how we'll get to eat of it and its leaves for the healing of the nations in Revelation 21 and 22. This is what we need. It just brings life. And when we talk about life, it's not just eternal survival, but it is eternal thriving. That's what this brings. And he's comparing the tongue to that it brings life to those around you. Contrast that with the perverseness or the crookedness in a tongue. Chapter 11, verse 3 says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Here, it breaks the spirit. Words do hurt. The old rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, is not true. Words can hurt far longer and far more than sticks and stones. How many of us, you remember what somebody said years ago? A comment your parents made that wasn't made the right way. Or something a friend said, or something someone in previous life said to you. We can all remember those things, unfortunately. And they weigh down on our spirit. And if we're not careful, it will break our spirit. I think parents need to be especially sensitive to this. That's why Scripture talks about fathers, don't provoke your children. Or, Colossians, as Colossians puts it in Colossians 3:21, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. As in Ephesians puts it in terms of frustrating. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. Right, the idea of provoking or frustrating our children. We can easily do that, whether it's not being consistent or we're reacting to them in a simple way when we shouldn't. It's the time to repent, to confess your sin to your kids. And God use that and to help them. Don't break the spirit of others. Things can be used for good or evil, right? TV or movies is a good example of this. They can be used for good or evil. They can be used as appropriate amusement, entertainment, or education. Even spiritually, I mean, the gospel has been shared through the TV medium. I mean, we have a whole shelf of DVDs over there that are basically educating you in truth, helping you, whether sharing the gospel or other areas of our Christian life, hearing, watching examples of men like Polycarp and others who gave their lives for Christ. But it also can be a medium that corrupts. We see the sin over and over again portrayed, and it deadens us to its wrongness. Now, it helps us to think that sin's okay. Different kinds of sin. Be more accepting of it in our society. and even in ourselves. It can be used for good or evil. The tongues like that. Do you realize the tongue's role can be either for good or evil? Do you understand how a wholesome tongue can bring life to those it speaks? This is why, you know, speaking the truth in love, it can help each other grow to be like Christ. This is the purpose of the spiritual gifts. To, as we use them, many of them have to do with our words. And help one another as we go through the trials of life and to grow to be like Christ. This is especially true when we bring the message of the good news. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, the gospel is what starts that chapter. We think of it as the great resurrection chapter, but it starts with the gospel. And as you give them the hope of the gospel, then they have the hope of the resurrection. Right? That's what we look forward to when we die, but we have to share the good news. Contrast that with Satan, and who is Satan? According to Romans or John 8:44, he's a liar, father of lies, and he is a murderer from the beginning. Wherever he goes, he brings lies. He brings death. Don't be like Satan, using your tongue to break others, to bring death to those around you, but instead bring life, hope. Are you seeking to be truthful, encouraging, kind, and forgiving with your words? It's all truths taught here. Or are you tearing others down through lies, anger, rotten language, evil or hateful words? It's Ephesians 4. Coming right after talking about putting off, putting on. What does this look like? Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have given something to give to him as need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace, blessing to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what our tongue should look like. That's what they should communicate. As we apply the truth of God's Word, is your tongue bringing health to those around you, or are you contradicting itself? You're a walking contradiction. You go to church and you act all pious and you say these, sing these songs that are filled with truth about God and pray these beautiful prayers. And then you go home and swear at people. Tear your kids down. Right? We can do it. I'm guilty at times. This shouldn't be so. Are you seeking to be truthful as we should? Or being like Christ? As we learn Him, put off the old man, put on the new man. Do you realize the tongue's role? You know, when you're teaching your kids how to say the words correctly, right? All of them, they always struggle with different words. And I know, what do? You take, sometimes you say it right to them, and if that doesn't fix it, if they can't figure it out, then you talk, all right, put your tongue here, put your teeth here, so you can say this correctly. So you say the right words in the right way. And then you remind them, watch your lips, watch your teeth, watch your tongue. We've had to go through this. Some particularly, that's just part of life, right? But do you see how we do this spiritually? Do you see the need to watch your tongue, not to fix a pronunciation problem, but to help others as we are called to do? Will you heed the cautions of recognizing the tongue's results, remembering the tongue's restraints, and realizing the tongue's role? Will you watch your tongue? There's eternal significance as we share the gospel and we reap the reward of how we have used our tongues. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth for us. Help us to live in light of it, we pray. Use our tongues as we should, through the control of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.